that level. Don't wait. Don't sit down. Stand up. Thank you. Stand up. Thank you. Let's give praise to Jesus, please, everybody. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Shadababa. Shadababa. Y'all can sit, thanks, and grab your Bibles. You're going to need them. Let's see. Where did we stop this morning? Anybody know? What number? What book? Proverbs, was it? All right. We'll go back to 9 then. If we ended up in 10, we'll do 9 first. Verse 5. You know, last night, Miss Hogan, you want to say something before I get going here? Are you positive? Nothing? Well, stand up and wave or something. Oh, yeah. What about the little trinkets? Is this, y'all sure this is everything? If I'm talking and you want to put something else up here, you're welcome to. Seems like it's not enough stuff. I see a billfold. There ought to be 100 billfolds up here. Credit cards. There we go. Don't worry. I'm not a pickpocket. That's against the rules. Holy Ghost. Okay. I have to tell you that I am in dire disagreement with Babylon. And Babylon has a stranglehold on the church in the area of finances. And I'll tell you right now, I am at battle with that lying spirit. In the last few years, our responsibility has grown quite a bit. We have our work in Mexico. That's a lot better. This looks a lot better. Now I'm more functionable. But our work in Mexico has really grown off the charts. It's this war has really helped us. This drug war, it's very costly to thousands and thousands of lives and all that. Golly, it's horrible. There's no way to describe it to you. Since I've seen y'all, there was a gun battle at my front gate. You know my front gate. You know I got that big chain on there and all that. But that saved us. That one chain. I put a whole bunch of this. I am a preacher and I love Jesus. Okay, I wanted to say that up front. But on each side of my gate, on our property, we have 305 acres. On each side of it, of this big old gate I got, I had to bury, chopped off these Coke bottles in half, and I keep the dirt tilled up around it so that if you bust through my fence, you're going to lose all your tires. And I had to do it, did it out 30 yards on each side. And then I got this big iron gate with this big chain. And I'm going to tell you something. It saved us. I don't know how much detail. Y'all are a little bit nervous people. But these cartels, once they, because you don't join, they draft. And once they get you, you don't leave them. And when you try, they kill everybody. And this one guy was trying to get his family out, and someone was sitting there at a fruit stand and saw him and got after him. And they started chasing him in these buses. Everything's done by buses down there, but as far as transportation. There ain't as many. Y'all got vehicles per person in this room right here. But everybody does bus transportation there. And there's lots of vehicles, but the poorer people, everybody uses the bus. And so they got after, they didn't know which bus he was on. So they started chasing and firing on these buses. I don't believe anybody's innocent. Let's just go with that. But the people on the bus that were not involved in the chase got involved because these guys run them down. And it ended up being three or four carloads of these guys with these automatic weapons. And they stopped these buses, and then the other cartel got involved, and they started fighting each other, plus they were fighting the bus. It was complicated. And the one cartel bunch turned in, and if I hadn't had that chain on my gate, like, you know, those concrete pillars and all that, I built it strong, it's a good thing. Because they hit that thing, bang, and that chain stopped them with that good old American master lock. Woo-hoo! When they couldn't get in there, they turned and went through the ditch. It's a big complicated, it's a big old ditch. And went down to my, like going south from my gate. It was about 250 yards down there is where the main firefight happened. 45 civilians were murdered. And one of the ones that got me the hottest, because they all are not right in my opinion, but America's drug problem is the reason for this war, because everybody's greedy for the money. You want me to say that again? Okay. America's drug problem. That's why I was fussy at the church this morning about the legal drug problem. I disagree with you on these drugs and on this money deal. I don't agree with you. All right. So, good for me. Well, this is why. Because The women involved in this war are really aggressive people. I'm not going to say that they're worse than anybody else, but anybody, they're not. But this woman goes on one of them buses looking for that fella, and his wife and kids are going to kill him with a semi-automatic 45, and she walks up to this woman. Her baby's freaked out because they threw a hand grenade on the bus. And when it went off, this kid, could you imagine a little baby that, you know, breastfeeding, and it flipped out. The woman comes up there with that gun. She says to that woman, shut that baby up. And the baby ain't going to shut up. There's nothing you can do. I don't know how many of y'all understand about babies. But when a baby's flipped out like that, you can't turn them on and off. And it didn't shut up, and so she just reached over there and put a bullet right through the brains of that baby, and then one through the mama. This is our world. This is where I live. And you want me to be more palatable for you. How? Do you understand what you're asking me? And 45 people were murdered right in front of our gate. And, man, they swarmed us. My house was overrun three times then. It's on, y'all. I don't know what to say to you. You need to pray. But there's one story. I started it last night. And you thought I finished, but I did. Remember the grandma that got the baby with the skeleton? There's more to her story. You want to hear it? Because she is also a woman of faith, like the pastor's wife. She's weird. Because she heard this voice again that spoke to her the first time. And it spoke to her the second time. And now, what I'm going to tell you, I'm not going to get real descriptive, but I'm going to get a little bit descriptive. Because there's some young people in this room that need to be frightened. And there's some older people that need a slap on the side of the head because you just drop your kids off at the mall and let them be babysit by the devil. I disagree with you on that also. Because that's where these guys are hunting for innocence to sell. Understood? That's one of their shopping places. You go shopping for stupid fads, they go shopping for meat. You need to wake up. And I'm going to help you wake up. Because I'm going to tell you the truth. I'm going to be blunt, but not enough to offend everybody. Just a handful. There are certain people need offended. Okay. And then there's other ones that should be offended, but they're not going to be no matter how graphic you get. So, this grandma, remember there's an underground church and you have to pray to get the location and the date and the time and all that, right? Okay. Well, she got it again. But this time when she comes walking in, she's got the whole family. I'm talking about everybody, lock, stock, and barrel. I mean, it's a stack of them. She comes walking in there. None of these people are saved. Just her. And this is, in y'all's world, forced salvation is not legal to y'all. But I'm not at all convinced you're right. I'm convinced that Jesus is right. There you go. So that puts us at looking at each other uncomfortably. And I'm the one that don't get embarrassed, so that leaves you. So here it is. She comes walking into this church. I mean, they're worshiping God. And everybody's happy because the little boy that got the skeletal, remember, was born without a skeletal, got the skeletal. Yay, God. All right, good. Now, here she comes walking in. And you know how you think? She come there, God talked to her again. Now she brought all these people to get saved because she understands that these people need to get born again because of what happened to the son, the grandson. But that's not how it goes with new Christians. They don't understand. They don't speak gospel yet. They don't understand terminology. So they're up there worshiping God, doing what you do in y'all's church setting. Similar, but not the same. And this grandma just walked straight up there. She don't know not to interrupt. She hadn't been taught yet that you can't come there for help. You have to come there and wait. And maybe you won't ever be attended. And she comes up to the front and the pastor, she knows him now, called him by name. I need you to help me again, she said. And he says, what do you want? Because she just got this miracle that nobody ever gets. She got one. She goes, well, my granddaughter. Now, granddaughter is different than grandson. You got that figured out? Okay, my granddaughter needs help. So who's going to intervene? Go ahead and tell me. Pastor's wife. Yeah, it is going to be Jesus in a minute, whoever said that. He will come along. I will give you that, but it's going to be in a minute. First, it's the pastor's wife, because she's this person of faith, and like I told you last night, they're just downright irritable people. They just, man, they don't get it. They don't understand to leave things alone. And she steps in front of the pastor again. She says, same scenario, she says, but this is how it's going to go. All these people are going to get born again you brought in here. And she says, I was anticipating that. So this is grandma now. This is the new convert. She turns around to her kinfolk. She says, y'all are getting born again. And none of them know what that means. They don't speak gospel. And grandma just learned that term a few days ago. And she says, Tell them what it means, Pastor. Tell them what it means. So he explained it to them. So she turned around and told them all, get on your knees right here. We're going to do this. So ever slap dabbing one of them in the family did. See, y'all think it's something to do with somebody's will or somebody's emotions. Man, you've been taught the wrong gospel. Man, you force these people to get saved so they can go to heaven, dude. I mean, you got to understand this. They got to go to heaven. We give a flip about their will. It's God's will where the power is. How about that new technology? So they all got saved. All right. Yay. The whole stack of them. Just double the church. Okay. Because they heard God. These heard God. So now we're bigger. Okay. Here we go. Grandma goes and gets 13-year-old daughter, granddaughter. This is it. It's on. It's as bad as you can think. Brings her up there and there's this odor with her. What odor is that? Oh, that's the right question. It's what happens whenever your body's decaying because of STDs, sexually transmitted diseases. How'd she get those at 13? Well, she was walking to school in her innocence, unsaved person, walking with a group of girls her age, because that's how you do it where I live. You go to school because there's no vehicles. You walk to school if you want education. And here comes three of those Toyotas full of those people with those AR-15s and AKs in the back. They jump out and they get them all. And they rape them. They carry them to their camp and just mutilate these people. You're not going to get these details from CNN, the Communist News Network. They're going to keep you calm. They don't want you knowing the truth because you will react because you're born again believers and you believe the gospel. And so you'll stand up for what's right because that's what children of the living God do. So they got to keep you pacified. They got to keep sticking that. What's that little old, Debbie, that little old candy thing that I buy them kids? It's a ring deal. Ring pop. I keep buying them things just to stick them out and hush them up. You're having it. Having it. That's what's happening to you. You're a marketed piece of meat that's pacified and compromised. How dare him say that to me? Well, I'll tell you what, I'll say it again. That way it'll have been told to you twice. Come on, church, we got to rise. You heard? We sang it a while ago. Awaken us, oh God. But we don't want to hear the truth. We want to be awakened in our opinion of it. Give it to me and let me go back to sleep. Till you run into these kind of situations, any boy lights you on fire. I'm that on fire, can you tell? Boy, I don't like it because those cowards did that to that baby. She's not my blood. That don't matter. You got to understand. Boy, they tore that little girl up, son. Left her naked in a ditch. At least she didn't get killed, which is really, in our world right now, that's unusual that this little young lady didn't get just arms and legs chopped off and sitting around and all that. That's what they're doing. And they got her home. Family did what they could. Carried her to the hospital. Doctors checked her out. She's got several of these STDs. And she's ripped all to pieces. For heaven's sake, she's a baby. She's... Boy, here, don't that make you mad? It just makes you mad. That a grown man would be such a coward. And if you're in here and you're one of them, the Lord Jesus rebuke you. I don't like it. And I'm not going to stand by idle. I'm going to aggressively preach the gospel, and I'm going to get everybody saved and healed, even the bad guys. Whoever, it doesn't matter. We got to help everybody. But you got to do it with power and the truth. Not you being okay and eating another donut and having another Starbucks. All right. I got something else to say. I got hung up on this because it's an issue with me. I don't like the loss of all these people. It's offensive because I wouldn't say they're good people, but in this war, they are innocent. Now, you got this hurt 13-year-old at church, just got born again. So what's your opinion of what should happen? I'm listening. You don't know. You don't know what to do. Okay. Here's what the pastor's wife don't understand, what the rest of us understand. Logic. She understands faith. She told the family, now that you're born again, sit down. We're going to fast and pray and seek God. The whole stack of them sit down. Brand new, never even heard the word fast before. They're tortilleros, man. They eat tortillas, baby. Son gorditos, hombre. And they sit down on the floor and they're sitting there and they don't know what to do. They're just looking at each other. Could you imagine how uncomfortable? But see, faith lives in uncomfortable. Yeah. It's not about being comfortable. It is actually about being uncomfortable. It's about the flesh submitting to God. That's what it's about. It's not about you getting as close as you can to a fast and yet it not be a fast. Throw that T-bone in the blender with the ice cream. I'm drinking it. I'm not eating it. I'm not. It's a fast. I can drink. No, honey. That's not a fast. That's a lie. So anyway, she's sitting there, right? And on the third day, 1, 2, 3, just like the other one, the daughter stands up in the middle of all these people she don't even know. She's embarrassed and humiliated. You know, how could she not be? And she says to Mama, Mama, I feel better. Right in front of everybody. Mama says, how could that be? How could you feel better? And she said, I'm bringing you back to the doctor. So she did. Carried her back to the doctor. I was telling y'all about these creation things. Here we go. I think I will. Yeah. Tater chip. Shalababa. I love my job. And I'm glad I didn't compromise. And I'm glad I'm in on this stuff. Because this little girl, buddy, she goes into the doctor. This is going to flip your wires. Get ready. Doctor checks her out. He comes out because the family has the papers that he originally gave them. He's got his set in his hand, and now he's got a new set. He said, what'd y'all do? Grandma spoke up. Well, we went, this voice spoke to me, and I went with these Christians. We got born again, and God touched us. He said, I'm going to admit something to you, and I quote him. As she was the day she was born, she is now. Come on. So all of you that have been mutilated by hell for one reason or another, and probably it's the right reasons, I got some really good news for you. It's called creation. God wants to to deliver you and help you and bless you and fix you and repair you and heal you and create new body parts in you. Don't that freak you out? Does that freak you out like it does me? Dude, I'm flipped out. This thing is weird. Heaven's gone way too far. He's just gone out there and expects us to follow him. Let me think about it. Yep, I'm in. Okay, let me go read some verses. Otherwise, you religious spirits, you're going to get mad at me. Oh, I almost let it come. It almost got out. Okay, let's read. Where was we? What Bible verse? What chapter? I mean, what the book? Yeah, that's right. You're right. You're absolutely right. Okay, number, wait a minute, 11. That's the wrong one. Proverbs 9:5. You ready? Come. So I'm inviting y'all to a Holy Ghost picnic feast. This is what the Bible says. It doesn't say who. Oh, that's right. Back up there one verse it does. The simple-minded. That lets me in. Oh, this thing here is going to have to get a lesson taught to. Oh, there it is. Simple, easily led astray, and wavering. That's all of us in this room. Those who lack understanding, God's wisdom says to him, come. Wisdom is inviting you to a feast. I'm in. I want it. I'm having it. I won't be denied. It hadn't got to do with you approving it or opinionating it. It's got to do with, can I submit? Can I hear wisdom? Can I hear the resounding power of God that's been pounding through the ages and it found me? And it says to me, come, boy. Yes, sir. I will come. Eat of my bread and drink of the spiritual wine which I've mixed. All right. Jump back over to 10. Verse 29. The way of the Lord is strength and is a stronghold for the upright. All right. I'm invited. Come. And I'm given the way how to come. Does that make sense? It says it right there in them verses, right or not? Hello? Okay. Okay, I'm after y'all. You realize that, right? And I'm successful. I got it that time. So, now let's see if I can do this. Y'all, I'm going to tell you what I did. I've been blessed over the years. I got these preaching things. These tablet things. I don't remember what these, what's this called, Miss Hogan, these things? Pads, yeah. No, it's not an iPad. It's just a regular old pad made out of paper. Now, I do have an iPad. But I prefer to use the paper version. Sometimes I use the other one, but not much. All right. And I've got over the last 35 years, I've accumulated about 300, maybe 400 of these sermons that are just on any subject that you can think of, and they work. I'm telling you, I can talk about them, and it just bang, it works. It's the Word of God, it works. But this is what I told Ms. Hogan. I said, I am not going to lean on any other information I've ever obtained. I said, let's go to the store. We're going to buy me a brand new blank pad. So I went to the store, and I left off on this run right here I'm doing all over the United States, preaching everywhere, with no prepared sermons. And it's on purpose. I want fresh oil in my life. And I want pressure on me that when it's my turn to talk, what I'm saying is something that I got a while ago. Because I know fellas that don't do that. They lean on other things, and I'm not into that personally. So I left all that knowledge behind. Boy, I've needed it. I have needed it. My goodness. It has forced me to sit with my iPad. Because she put all these things on there that makes it smart. And I can go through it. And man, what used to take me 100 hours, I can do in like 3. Because it's all right at my fingertips instead of having to open all these books and shut them. And so, I was sitting there this morning thinking about tonight. Because this morning was already thought of and put on a piece of paper. So I'm thinking about it. And this verse came to me. I just read one of them to you in verse 29 of 10 Proverbs. And verse 5 of 9 Proverbs. Where the Holy Ghost says, come. And then that verse came to me that Jesus said to his disciples whenever they worked all night. I mean, they were fishermen. They were trade people. And then there's a guy over there on the beach that says, hey, y'all catch any fish? No. I'm a carpenter. Throw your net on the other side. No. We are the pros here. Okay. But nevertheless, it's your word, what? And they threw it over there, and what did it say? They couldn't pull it in. All right. All of that stuff has implications. All of it has truths and laws in it. I'm not after that. I'm after the come and dine thing. Because once they netted all those fish, Peter was down in his loin thing, and he looked at the rest of them and said, that's Jesus. He just grabbed his coat and just jumped in the water. I'm going to see Jesus. Y'all handle the fish. I got something else better. It's better than the harvest. It's better than success. It's better than sustenance. It's called Jesus. Because you get your hands on Jesus, and all other stuff can be duplicated. All right. Now, what did Jesus tell him? Do you remember this little sentence thing, phrase? Come and dine. Now we made a big old song out of it. There's quite a bit of this stuff falling up here with me, and I'm gathering it up, putting it in my Bible here. Come and dine, Jesus said. And you know, I started thinking about it. What is he after? What does Jesus want with you? And then I wrote it down on my little brand new tablet up here, pad. It's in John 6. So let's go over there. There's something Jesus is after. And the reason I want to tell you this, we'll start in 5 and jump into 6. Now, there's something I'm trying to get off my chest here, and it's complicated because there's a couple of miracles I want to tell you, so please give me just a minute. I want to do this because I'm going to go ahead and make a stand, and I want to do it here. And I made my mind up I was going to do it. And then a while ago, they brought me out to eat something. And we're sitting there, and Miss Cheryl just looks right at me and asks me, "What do you think of this?" And I almost dropped my fork because it was what I wrote down on my pad this morning. And I'm just looking at her like, they got my room bugged. Somebody got a camera in my room. That's not advisable, by the way. And it's got to do with the bread of life. See, I know what you're eating. It's not the power of God. It's the spirit of this age. It's got the church in a stranglehold. And we're going, "Uncle, Uncle, we'll do whatever you say." Well, I'm not. I'm not. It took me 61 years to figure that out. It took me 37 years walking in the Holy Ghost to figure out I am not going to do it anymore. It's a super costly decision. I've been thrown out of so many churches already without making this decision. Just out of just plain aggression. Just I want people healed, and that's not the agenda of the church. The church wants everybody comfortable. It ain't got nothing to do with you being healed. It's got to do with you being satisfied. Well, that's not scriptural. Because if you get satisfied spiritually, you can get healed. And then the flesh don't have anything to say anymore. So it's things are kind of sideways, and we got to straighten it up. So this thing can get some traction and get moving. And so that's what we're going to do, okay? All right, now I want to show you. I'm not going to do this whole thing. I want to really bad. It's just there's not enough days in the day. No, I didn't get confused. Y'all run by time. Where I live, they don't. So John 5:18. Now this is Amplified. This made the Jews more determined than ever to kill Jesus. Because he not only was breaking, weakening, and violating the Sabbath. See, what's going on, there's all these unwritten rules. Everybody in this room knows them. If you speak gospel, you know these rules. And some of them's great. But you let somebody step into the world of the church that breaks the church's religious rules, violates what these false prophets and false leaders say, and weakens their authority, their grip over the church, they will kill you. And it doesn't mean necessarily physically. You will be blackballed, stole from, ripped off, and lied about. How about that? Is the truth okay? This is why people don't like to go to church. Because at least a liar out in the street will do it on purpose. You expect that out of them. But in here, you don't expect it. In here, you're looking for help, and what do you get? Abused. Percentage is higher for what I'm saying than what you believe. Okay. So this is what's going on with Jesus. But what got him there? What was it that got him so mad that they would actually physically take the man and put him on a cross? That's the right question to ask. Thank you for asking that. All right. He was making himself equal, putting himself on a level with God. 19. Jesus said to him, I tell you, the Son is able to do nothing of himself of his own accord. You get that first. Say that with me. I can do nothing by myself. I need the Father. Say it again. I need the Father. I need the Father. Because I believe. He is able to do only what he sees the Father do. So to see the Father means you got to spend time. You have to understand. You have to submit. You have to bow. You have to figure out who he is and what he wants. All right. Father dearly loves his Son. Verse 20. Shows him everything. And you feel isolated and left out and hidden. Things are hidden from you. That's because hell has blocked you. And we're going to come, we're going to change our partner today. And we're going to come to the table of the Spirit of the Lord. And we're going to eat with wisdom. Because we've been invited. Okay. Okay. You marvel, you're full of wonder and astonishment. Look at 21. Just as the Father raises up the dead and gives them life. Says it right there in your Bible. Read it. It's not weird for me to come here and tell you these fascinating miracles. It is normal Christianity. And I've got to stir you up. You sang it a while ago about being awakened. It is the Word of God that does this to us. All right. Even so, the Son, look at this. Now, who is in you? Jesus, the hope of glory, the captain of our faith. Is that right or wrong? All those things. All right. We have been made living stones. We are alive in him. Is that not what it says? That's what it says. That's what the Bible says. Okay, good. The Son also gives life to whomever he wills. And is pleased to give it. So all of this false religion has been crammed down our throats and all these lies because somebody tried to seek God and it didn't work for them. So they figured out this false humility deal and all these rules and all this work mentality. Dude, the reason I've got life is because Jesus loves me. The reason you're hearing me speak of all these awesome miracles is because Jesus loves us. And we believe it. And there's nothing you can do to make it okay to be good enough. Ever. You're good enough because he said, come on with me. No other reason. There's no other reason. It's called mercy. It's called mercy. It's mercy. He pleases to do it.